I am so excited and over the moon to be with you this evening on the first episode of Nigeria Jollof. My name is Guinevere Jones. Don't go anywhere. Nigeria Jollof. Well, you may think, are we going to talk about food? Yes, but a different kind of food. We have lots of varieties of jollof. No jollofs taste the same. And when you cook, we share our food with people, maybe close friends or ourselves. But for us to really enjoy that meal, what do we do? What are the secrets of a good chef? This is Nigeria Jollof, and we are not talking about the physical food you're eating. We're talking about you as the jollof rice we are all eating. Because if you have a bad character, we eat from it. If you have a good one, we eat from it. We've been eating the national cake, as they call it. But in this show, the Nigeria Jollof, and it is bitter, sweet, harsh, rotten, burnt, whatever description you want to give to it. So on this show, we'll bring you all sorts of jollof in different ways. In these hard times, while we fight together to beat this pandemic by observing isolation, personal hygiene, and social distancing, many of us are still trying to fight and survive a more deadlier virus, fear. We are all afraid and is expected. But trust me, you don't need to fear if you have God. And we do have God. Even if you kicked him out of your life a long time ago, or you clearly don't believe in him, I think it's time for you to reevaluate your relationship with him and leave everything at his feet. This is not about religion. This is about you and your creator. Having said that, many testimony about this pandemic is different, horrific, worrisome, fearful. But on this episode of Nigeria Jollof, I want to change the narrative. Oh, not me, someone will. She's going to bring to us her story and why she is thankful for the pandemic and the virus. While we are all praying that God should help us and heal our lands, this lady is thanking God for allowing the land to be afflicted. From her mouth, she will share her own story about how her jollof was made and why she's grateful that though everything went the way it did, but somehow, somewhere, he stepped in.
Condolences to everyone that have lost their loved ones in this season. We all get through this together. My name is Laura. I never wanted to share the story. I was encouraged to. I'm grateful to God for the pandemic. He saved my life, and he took a disease to do that. Well, this is the story. At the age of 18, I was sold to a chief in Oyo State. My father had a gambling problem. That is a very dark part of my life, and that is not the story I want to tell. But that story leads to this one, so I'll just give you a summary of that one. So we lost everything due to my father's ill habit. And then we were able to start all over again. The chief gave my father a condition of helping him out if he agrees to give one of his daughter in hand in marriage, and he agreed. So my marriage was a document as exchange. I was taken to his house and they signed the document, and that was the marriage. I was a property of the chief. I'm a Yoruba person from Oyo State, and I stayed in the chief's house, my father-in-law's house, for 2 years before I saw my husband. And that 2 years was a terrible ordeal. I wouldn't wish that 2 years on anyone. My husband met me and he was able to be a good man to the best of his capacity. Took me back to the UK and the word that was sent across was he went home to marry a wife. I got there to realize that my husband was gay and he was unable to tell his family. In the bid to save the face of the chief back at home and also to help with the family, and that is also my duty because I'm a property, whatever it is the family wants me to do, I would do it. I was made to have and I got pregnant from that rape, and I had everybody, the news spread around that I can't mention his name, but his wife is pregnant and I gave birth to twin boys. I was happy. It was great. A good cover story. But I was dying. At the back of my head, I convinced myself that everything I was going through was sacrificed, was for my family to survive, to get better. I was 26 years old when everything turned around. I woke up in the hospital. And I got to find out I became a widow and my children were dead. And that was not the whole story. I lost my legs. We're coming back from the function. That's the last thing I can remember to date in the car. And the next thing I know is I was in the hospital. What I was told was there was a fatal accident that claimed the life of my family. And I survived, but my legs did not make it. I was ostracized from family and tagged a curse, and then I brought a curse to the family. And I was stranded in the UK, nowhere to go to. I was staying in the streets for a while before I was helped by a Nigerian woman. She took me in and she helped me get back on my feet. I was able to walk in church, and church paid me, and I saved up some money. Got back to Nigeria. I just went straight to the east and tried to start my life over again. I became a farmer. Till now I am a farmer. I did not snail farming in Imo State. I met a man. Well, he came into my life, and then he's an Igbo man, a doctor. He works in a big hospital in Lagos, and then he sponsored my surgery. So I went to India and he paid for everything, and it attached robotic legs to my body so I can do away with the wheelchair. Changed my life and helped, and I grew from that. We're trying to get married, the family kicked against it, and so he decided to travel to see one of his uncle because he has no father. But the eldest uncle amongst the family do not stay in Nigeria. He's in China. He's in Wuhan, China, to be specific. Well, that's where my nightmare began. I only heard from him when he landed. And after that, I did not hear from him again. I was very worried. A week has passed and I was yet to hear from him. That was last year. To be precise, he went to Wuhan December 14th. His family contacted me and I was as in the dark as they were. And then, in Imo State, on Christmas Day 2019, some policemen came to my house and arrested me and said that the family accused me of using their son for ritual, or I've forgotten the allegation, but it has to do with me harming him. And the case was in the police station. My friend Lizzie, who introduced me to this lady that does the Nigerian Jollof podcast, well, she has been tremendous in my life. became a sister from another mother, and she is Igbo as well. So she stood for me, fought for me. I was able to get out of prison after she was able to pay the bill, because they had no evidence or whatsoever to keep me behind bars. But I was terrified, and I now believe I really was a curse, because the only good thing that was happening for me all of a sudden disappears. And that was not the bad part of the whole story. It was that complicated that even his family he went to meet in China were unable to find the whereabouts of their uncle. So they were missing. And because they were blacks, and not just any blacks, they're Nigerians, the case was not really handled by the police in China, in Wuhan at the time. And we were lost. We were in Nigeria. We had no idea of what was going on. But fast forward, I got into depression. I started drinking a whole lot. I felt my life was ruined. I contemplated taking my own life. It was very bad. And then I heard about the pandemic happening and how severe it was in China. So my head was, even if something is not just right, and he went to China, perhaps they're dead. Perhaps the disease has killed them and nobody knows because nobody cares. I gave up already. I gave up all hope. I gave up. I was ridiculed a lot. Every day, different people come to my house to bring in thoughts or cause a scene. And there was a time that the family members came to try and pull off the robotic leg out of me to pull it. It was bloody, that I can't be enjoying what their son had done for me after killing the son. Well, I'm trying to fast forward the story to remove a lot of details. And well, on the 2nd of February, I was sleeping in my friend's house. Her name is Lizzie's house. And she woke me up and she was looking horrid. She was looking pale, like she just saw a ghost. And that frightened me a little bit. And my mind was, perhaps this guy's family had found me to this place to come and cause another problem, and maybe it's worse. But she said, she could not say anything actually. She just kept mumbling words that I did not understand, and then kept pointing to the living room. Get dressed, went to the living room, and lo and behold, he was standing right there in the living room in my friend's house on the 2nd of February, 2020. The person I was accused of killing was standing right before me. I didn't care if it was a ghost. I didn't care. It was a trick from the pit of hell or heaven. I don't know. But I leaped for joy. My heart, my life, like at that moment, everything I have been through in the hands of his family and everything I've been through in my life, that particular moment washed it all away. I was completely and utterly full of joy. He broke down and started crying. He looked very, very lean and washed out, beards all over. He didn't look like the man I knew, but I was thankful. Even if he came back looking like Fela Kuti, As far as he's alive and he's back, I was grateful at that time, and I'm still grateful now. They were kidnapped by unknown Chinese men and locked up in a camp where they became slaves. They were not given any food. They were beaten. They were treated badly. They were able to be free when the camp was infected with COVID virus. Almost everyone in that camp had it and died, and the authorities were able to raid the camp because it wasn't just them that was there. There were a lot of people, both black, white, other Chinese people, from according to their story. I can't tell a lot about their ordeal or their story, but they went through hell. But hell broke loose for them when the camp was infected with the virus. The virus killed all of their masters, as he called it, or died. They were infected by the virus. The camp was full of dead bodies. Then the authorities came in, and then they set some people free, and they were checked and everything. And I wouldn't say they were deported, but China brought them back to Nigeria. And every other person, according to them, every other person are not Chinese nationalist or citizen. And unfortunately, his uncle was there illegally. So he was caught and was sent back home. I am so grateful that the outbreak happened when it happened. If it didn't, I'm sure they'll still be there suffering. The virus set my now husband free, because he came back, and after everything that had happened, we got married immediately without no protocol. We just went straight into a court and did everything. Came to Lagos and tried to do the test again, because though he was cleared over there.
That was an amazing story, wouldn't you agree? Thank you so much, Lizzie, for bringing this story and trusting Nigeria Jollof to be the platform to share your friend's story. This is all we can take for now. But first, I must say thank you to everyone that have supported this podcast journey. I want to thank everyone also who has been anticipating this podcast. Well, I've started. I'm here and looking forward to more. Show some love and share this podcast with your loved ones and not so loved ones if you have any. You can tweet at us and tweet to Mrs. Laura to send your messages of love and support or whatever questions you have via Nigeria Jollof platform. On Twitter, we are at @Jollof_Nigeria. I'd love to read from you and also pass your message across. Well, good night. Stay safe, people, and have a wonderful weekend. Exercise. Please, exercise. God bless you.